He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, it's Mother's Day. And for all mothers now, and for all mothers to be, I wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. And I want to tell you about my mom. My mom taught me about religion. When I spilled the grape juice on the carpet, she said, "You better pray this stain comes out, boy." My mom taught me about logic, too. She says, "Because I said so, that's why." She taught me about foresight, too. Make sure you have on clean underwear in case you're in an accident. She taught me about irony as well. "Keep laughing, young man, and I'll give you something to cry about." My mom taught me about stamina. Boy, you're going to sit there till all your vegetables are gone. She taught me about the weather. "Looks like a tornado's gone through your bedroom, Jeff." She taught me about fear. "You wait till your father comes home." And she taught me about the circle of life. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it." But most importantly, my mother taught me about unconditional love, because quite honestly, that's what it took to love me. So I'm sure all of the children and the grown children here today can look at their mother and said, "I thank you, Mom, for loving me for who I am." But my question for you this morning, besides Mother's Day, you can't use that one. What do you think of when you think of the word love? Many people think of two people holding hands, walking down a beach somewhere in the Caribbean. That's what love looks like. Other people say it looks like Valentine's Day with a box of chocolate and some flowers on the way. Other people say it's that warm, fuzzy feeling when I see that hot chick in the hallway. And I really want to ask her out, but I just don't have the guts to. Or the girls, when you see that hunky looking guy coming down the hallway and you say, "I hope he asks me out. He's kind of cute." When it comes to love, Noah Webster defines love as this. I looked it up. "To regard with a strong feeling of affection. To have a devoted devotion or attachment to feel great tenderness for, to be passionately fond of, and etc." And it goes on forever. But in all of those, it seems as if it's always a feeling. It's what love is. A group of professionals once asked children ranging from the ages of 4 years old to 8 years old to answer the question, "What does love mean?" Their answers are far more deep than you would ever imagine. Carl, who is 5, defined love as this. "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." Tommy, age 6, says, "Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they've known each other for so long." Jessica, 8, said, "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people tend to forget." My favorite is Max. Max is age 5. He said, "God could have said the magic words to make the nails fall off the cross, but he didn't. That is love." As you try to define love today on this Mother's Day, I want you to notice something, that Noah Webster sees it as an emotion, a feeling, that warm, fuzzy feeling down inside, where little Max in God's Word defines love always as an action. But how does Jesus define love? He's the one that loves us. How does he describe it for you? Your favorite Bible verse may likely be John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave Jesus. You want to know what love looks like? Love in God's sight is always an action. Jesus would say later on in John 13, or it'd be written of him, "Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." Jesus showed his love for those 11 that were left. He showed his love for them by washing their stinky feet. And lastly, from 1 John, "In this is love, that We have not loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Once again, God is always doing something. Love is an action. It's something that God is laying out upon us so generously and so richly. There you have it, the biblical definition of love. And for Jesus, He would do nothing apart from His action. He demonstrates His love for you by what? Suffering and dying upon a cross. Jesus loved you by sacrificing His own life in your place. And throughout His earthly mission, ministry, He sacrificed His time. He sacrificed His energy. He sacrificed all of His personal comforts and ultimately His life for each and every one of you. You want to see love? See Christ's arms extended upon the cross of Calvary. There you see what true love really looks like. I love in today's gospel, Jesus talks about love and He uses the word agape. Greater love, agape, has no one than this, that someone should lay down his life for a friend. And He said this on the Friday that you and I like to call good. Jesus knew that His crucifixion was only hours away. And He says, you know what? To truly show your love for someone else, you will literally lay down your life for them. And as He looked out over His disciples, He saw men that were a little less than faithful. Men who had their doubts. One of them, Judas, who had left, was now on his way to betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knew all this, and He says, you know, true love is in this, that you lay down your life for your friends. My dear friends, that's what love looks like in your life. It looks like Jesus. Looks like Christ crucified for the forgiveness of all of your sins. But Jesus gave all of His love for us, His to the unlovable, sinful people that you and I are. You know, we like to stand back sometimes and say, but look at me, Lord. I am lovable. I do what You command, or at least I do the best I can. I live my life. Everybody around me sees me for who I am. And so therefore, Lord, I know You love me because I'm better than everyone else. I love singing that hymn, chief of sinners though I be, they're twice as bad as me. And so therefore, Lord, I know that You love me because of who I am. We read in God's words, I don't know the man, is what Peter said when he was challenged in his love for Christ. All of them on that night says, Lord, we will die for You. We will die with You. But when push came to shove, all of them betrayed Christ and went their own way. That's literally what we do, isn't it? Isn't that what sin is? Isn't sin turning our back on what God has commanded and living our lives the way that we see fit? We seek the comfort and the safety of the world in which we live in instead of finding ourselves at the foot of the cross receiving the forgiveness that Jesus Christ died to give. See, the reality is there's nothing lovable about any of us. You look into the mirror of God's law and you pull all the veneer off, we're all the same, we're sinners, not because of what we do. We're not sinners because of what we do. We are sinners because of who we are. Born and conceived in sin. That's who we are. You can't fight it any more than you can fight the white that's in your skin or the black or the tan or whatever the skin color is. You can't change it in and of ourselves. But I love it when Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Do you believe that God chose you? In the midst of all of your sins and all your lawlessness and all that you do in the world today, when you're covered with all the stain of it all, Jesus looked upon you and says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. The true nature of this love becomes clear as we consider the object of God's love. See, there's no redeeming quality in us. If you don't believe me, I asked the mothers today, did you ever have to teach your newborn child how to be selfish? I bet you had a lesson on that. Okay, sonny or daughter, you have to be selfish by doing this. The word you want to use is mine. It's mine. No, I'm afraid you probably didn't have to do that. Did you have to teach your children how to lie? Now, some of you are going to say, but my children don't lie. Now, don't lie about that. Had you teach your children how to hate? Do we have to teach our children how to be sinners? No. Because the reality is they're a chip off the old block. It's universal. As hard as we try, ultimately, there's no justification, there's no righteousness within us. There's only sin and there's only death. But I have good news for you. You didn't choose Christ, He chose you. You know what it tells me? That He loves you. You know what else that tells me? That tells me that He shows His love for you, and while you were yet sinners, while you were still dead in your trespasses and sin, Jesus Christ died for you to make you holy and righteous, to wipe all of that gunk away, that you may stand before Him in spite of all that you've done and said and been, and stand before Him as perfect in righteousness. I realize to your friends that's laughable. Oh, I know them. I know what they've done. Pastor, if you knew what they'd done, you wouldn't even talk to that person. But Jesus does. And by the way, Jesus talks to you too. Jesus' words are simply, abide in my love. You know what abide means? This was the text from last Sunday, using the same words but a different lesson. And the word was abide. And I told my congregation, abide means sit, stay. That's what abide means. It means to remain. Don't move, because God has connected you in the water of your baptism to Christ. You receive all of the forgiveness, life, and salvation, all the nutrients to make you blossom and flourish and produce a fruit of harvest because of where Christ has put you. So sit. Or may I say, hang around. Don't go anywhere. Find your way back here as your pastor proclaims God's word and His love for you every single week. And as a sacrament is given to receive the body and blood, to nourish your faith and to strengthen you, but also to assure you of God's love for you and the forgiveness that Christ died to give. But I got a warning for you. The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh hates what Christ has to say. There's nothing about what Jesus says that the world wants to hear. You see, the fact of the matter is, our enemies tell us that you don't need God. You can do it on your own. You're a strong lot of people. You're from Crete, for Pete's sakes. And people from Crete are strong. And you can redeem yourself and do your things. Who needs Jesus after all? They'll direct you instead to pleasure and to comfort and security and popularity and other fallible sources of life in the world in which we live, in the end that just end up being muddy, overflow, flooded waters that are teeming with death and infection. And drink there. The water's fine. You find yourself in that never-ending spiral of delusion and defeat, and you ask yourself always, when have I done enough? Have I done enough to save myself? And the answer always comes back as no. But the world in which you live in is ready to tell you that there's something exciting come along. When that new fad kind of falls away, it'll say, but the new one, that will satisfy. Just do it this way. If only you drove the right car. If only you wore the right kind of clothes and the right style or the right eye makeup or whatever. If only, then you would be really happy. Gentlemen, if you only wear the right cologne, girls would want to smell you too. The world hurls all these impossible lifestyle choices at you and me every single day, and our sinful nature just laps it up. But in the end, there's no hope in it at all. Jesus says, abide in my love. Remain. Stay. Stay to receive the love that I have for you. On this Mother's Day, I want to tell you about a daughter of a princess who is deathly ill with diphtheria. The mother was forbidden to kiss the child because of the certainty that she too would contract diphtheria and ultimately die. In one of the many moments of pain for the child, the mother was so distressed that she took her daughter up in her arms and soothed her into quietness. The daughter looked up into the eyes of her loving mother and says, "Mama, kiss me." This was too much for the mother's heart, and she took her child into her arms and she pressed her against her body and she kissed her daughter, which ended up being the kiss of death. Love is a sacrifice without counting the cost. And that's what Christ has done for you. That's what Christ has done for you. I'm going to conclude with a true story. Story about a young teenage girl who didn't want to ever go out in public with her mother because her mother's arms were terribly deformed. It happened one day that they were out shopping and the mother handed the money across the counter to the clerk. And when the clerk saw the mother's deformed arm, she recoiled back. Later, the teenage daughter went up into her bedroom and was so embarrassed that she laid there and cried and cried and cried. Embarrassment because of her mother. Her mother, in great wisdom, as all mothers are wise, waited about an hour, then she went up to her daughter's bedroom. And when she got there, she comforted her. And she says, "You know, when you were a baby, I woke up to our house that it was on fire. Your room in particular was a burning inferno. Flames were literally everywhere. Honey, I could have made it out the front door unscathed to safety. But quite honestly, I decided I'd rather die with you than to leave you alone to die by yourself. And so I made the decision to turn around and to enter into the fire and the flames where you were. And I grabbed you from your bed and I cradled you in my arms. And I turned around and I ran as fast as I could back out through the flames, back to safety outside. But when I was going back through the flames, my arms were on fire. But when I got outside, I was laying on the lawn in agonizing pain. But I looked down at you and I could see with great joy that the flames never touched you." The stunned girl looked up through tears in her eyes at her mother, weeping with shame and gratitude. She kissed her mother's hands and her arms, and for the first time she really understood the depth of her mother's love for her. Today is a great day. It's a great day because Jesus reminds us how much He loves us. Greater love is no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. And dear friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for you. And so in Him and through Him, I tell you, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.